The following program is brought to you by Audio Journal, a radio reading service intended for a print-impaired audience. Material is selected with the interest of its audience in mind, with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, its staff, or volunteer readers. Welcome all to Audio Journal's Poets' Corner, the program that offers its print-impaired audience and other listeners the opportunity to listen to poetry of people from all walks of life, of those from the distant past right up to the present day. This production is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. I'm George Bloomquist, and for the next half hour, I'll be reciting poems from the pens of poets such as Christine Kitano, Paula Gordon Lepp, Ellen Rowland, and Jane Hirschfield, to name but a few. They, as well as others, are found in the superb anthology, The Path to Kindness, Poems of Connection and Joy, edited by James Cruz. In his introduction to this anthology, Cruz reminds us that, by showing us all the ways we can still practice being together, these poems encourage us to capture and hold onto the moments that matter the most to us in life. Many of the poems included here also model for us the ways that we might let ourselves surrender more fully to joy. With that said, then, let us now begin our program with the poem For the Korean Grandmother on Sunset Boulevard by Christine Kitano. It reads, So you are here. Night comes as it does elsewhere. Light pulls slowly away from telephone posts. Shadows of buildings darken the pavement like something spilled. Even the broken moon seems to turn its face. And again you find yourself on this dark riverbed, this asphalt miracle, holding your end of a rope that goes slack when you tug it. Such grief you bear alone. But wait. Just now a light approaches. Its rich band draws you forward, out of shadow. It is here, the bus that will ferry you home. Go ahead, grandmother. Go on. Christine Kitano is the author of two collections of poetry, Birds of Paradise, Lynx House Press, and Sky Country, BOA Editions, which won the Central New York Book Award and was a finalist for the Patterson Poetry Prize. She is co-editor of the forthcoming They Rise Like a Wave, Blue Oak Press, an anthology of Asian American women and non-binary poets. In addition to teaching at Ithaca College, she serves as Tompkins County Poet Laureate. Receiving help from perfect strangers can be awkward at times, but also rewarding, as expressed in our next poem, Gas Station Communion, by Paula Gordon Lepp. It reads, It was a little thing, really, this offer to fill my tire. I was unscrewing the valve cap and heard a voice behind me. Here, I'll get that for you. Oh, that's okay, I've got it, is what I normally say to such overtures. This knee-jerk reaction to refuse. I am the one who offers to help. I am the one who serves. Perhaps it was the eager spirit in his face or his brown eyes full of hopeful connection that caused me to say, okay. I felt the vibration of his unspoken benediction. I can't do much for you, fellow weary traveler, but I can do this. Lay down your burden, and I will carry it for a bit. And I couldn't help but wonder how many times I have denied someone the blessing of serving because I have been too stubborn to accept their gift. As I was standing there in the sun-drenched gas station parking lot, the hiss and tick of the air pump sounded very much like a psalm. I watched his hands filling more than just my tire with air, while goodness and grace swirled around us. Paula Gordon Lepp lives in South Charleston, West Virginia, with her husband and two almost-grown kids. She grew up in a rural community in the Mississippi Delta, and a childhood spent roaming woods and fields, climbing trees, and playing in the dirt instilled in her a love for nature that is reflected in her poems. Paula's work has been published in the anthologies How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope, and The Mountain, Middle Creek Publishing. In the following verse, the poet is overcome by a compulsion of sorts out of the blue in A Great Wild Goodness by Annie Lightheart. One morning I was looking out the window when a great wild goodness came over me. I wanted to be kind to everything. I promised not to kill the big spider on the wall. In the cold, I took the dog for the long walk she had been wanting. I fetched a trash can lid for an ornery neighbor and did not, just then, add a single adjective to his name. I went back inside to the laundry and dishes with a clean heart, such as I have never had. Before dinner, the wild goodness shouted, "Too tame! Too tame!" So I went outside without my coat and shouted poems up to the stars until my children came home with their small warm hands. Then we ate bread in the kitchen, unafraid to be happy. The stars in the wild darkness were right over our heads. Annie Lightheart began writing poetry after her first visit to an Oregon old growth forest, and now teaches poetry wherever she can. Poems from her books Iron String and Pax have been featured on The Writer's Almanac and in many anthologies. Annie's work has been turned into music, been used in healing projects, and traveled further than she has. In our next poem, even simple menial chores in the kitchen, such as baking bread, can become a joyful adventure. It's called No Small Thing by Ellen Rowland. The smell of baking bread, smooth floured hands, butter waiting to be spread with blackberry jam, and I realize this is no small thing. These days spent confined, I am drawn to life's ordinary details, the largeness of all we can do alongside what we cannot. The list of allowances far outweighs my complaints. I am fortunate to have flour and yeast, a source of heat, not to mention soft butter, the tartness of blackberries harvested on a cold back road, a kitchen, a home, two working hands to stir and knead, a clear enough head to gather it all. Even the big toothy knife feels miraculous as it grabs hold and cracks the crust. Ellen Rowland creates, concocts, and forages when she's not writing. She's the author of Light Come Gather Me, a selection of mindfulness haiku, and Everything I Thought I Knew, a collection of essays about living, learning, and parenting outside the status quo. Her writing has appeared in various literary journals and in several poetry anthologies. She lives off the grid on a tiny island in Greece. Next, I Would Like by Jane Hirschfield. I would like my living to inhabit me the way rain, sun, and their wanting inhabit a fig or apple. I would like to meet it also in pieces, scattered. A conversation set down on a long hallway table. A disappointment pocketed inside a jacket. Some long-ago longing glimpsed, half-recognized, in the corner of a thrift store painting. to discover my happiness, walking first toward, then away from me, down a stairwell, two strong legs all its own. Also, the uncountable wheat stalks, how many times broken, beaten, sent between grindstones, before entering the marriage of oven and bread. Let me find my life in that, too. In my moments of clumsiness and solitude, in days of vertigo and hesitation, in the many year ends that found me standing on top of a stovetop to take down a track light, in my nights asked, sometimes answered questions, I would like to add to my life, while we are still living, a little salt and butter, one more slice of the edible apple, a teaspoon of jam from the long-simmered fig, to taste as if something tasted for the first time what we will have become then. Jane Hirschfield's 9th recently published poetry collection is Ledger, Knopf Press, 2020. A former chancellor for the Academy of American Poets, her work appears in The New Yorker, The Atlantic, The Times Literary Supplement, The New York Review of Books, and 10 editions of the Best American Poetry Series. In 2019, she was elected to the American Academy Arts and Sciences. Here's a celebration of what it's like to be one with nature's wonderful bounty in the poem titled A Pot of Red Lentils, by Peter Pereira. A pot of red lentils simmers on the kitchen stove. All afternoon, dense kernels surrender to the fertile juices, their tender bellies swelling with delight. In the yard, we plant rhubarb, cauliflower, and artichokes, cupping wet earth over tubers, our labor, the germ of later sustenance and renewal. Across the field, the sound of a baby crying as we carry in the last carrots, whorls of butter lettuce, a basket of red potatoes. Want to remember us this way? Late September sun streaming through the window, bread loaves and golden bunches of grapes on the table, spoonfuls of hot soup rising to our lips, filling us with what endures. Peter Pereira is a family physician in Seattle, Washington, whose poems have appeared in Poetry, Prairie Schooner, New England Review, Virginia Quarterly Review, and Journal of the American Medical Association. His books include What's Written on the Body, Copper Canyon Press, 2007, which was a finalist for the Washington State Book Award, Saying the World, Copper Canyon Press, 2003, which won the 2002 Hayden Carruth Award, and the limited edition chapbook, The Lost Twin, Gray Spider Press, 2000. Seizing the moment and cherishing it can be a great source of happiness, as expressed in our next verse. You reading this? Be ready. By William Stafford. Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps along a shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? Will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thoughts? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from this day. This interval you spent reading or hearing this, keep it for life. What can anyone give you greater than now, starting here, or right in this room, when you turn around? William Stafford's first collection of poems, West of Your City, wasn't published until he was in his mid-40s. However, by the time of his death in 1993, Stafford had published hundreds of poems and was said to have written at least one new poem a day. His collection, Traveling Through the Dark, won the National Book Award in Poetry in 1963. Stafford also received the award in literature from the American Academy and Institute of Arts and Letters, and a National Endowment for the Arts Senior Fellowship. Come In by Connie Wainick. It was the neighbor at the back door with a Vidalia onion in each hand, straight from the 10-pound sack the Shriners were selling, or the Rotarians, or Oddfellows, or one of those antique civic organizations of great uncles atoning for their sins on a just-in-time basis. Come in, and she did, smiling. The 15 months of COVID had given those simple words a radical new meaning, an assertiveness. Felt I was tearing up a contract I never wanted to sign. Membership in an HOA, maybe. Pale yellow onions, too clean to have come from the soil, surely too sweet to make you cry. Connie Wainick was born in Wisconsin, was raised in New Mexico, and lived for over a quarter century in Duluth, Minnesota. She is the author of Bonfire, New Rivers Press, winner of the New Voices Award, Hartley Field, Holy Cow Press, and On Speaking Terms, Copper Canyon Press. In 2016, the University of Nebraska Press published Wainick's Rival Gardens, New and Selected Poems, as part of their Ted Kooser Contemporary Poetry Series. Next, Time and the Writer's Life carries on for a better tomorrow in Still Life with Ladder by Susan Rich. Today, the sky saved my life, caught between smoked rum and cornflour. Today, there is a color I can't name cruising past the back door. It is the idea of color. Cloudscapes evaporate like love songs across lost islands, each a small bitcoin of thought. Today, I'm alive, and this is a good thing. Clams in the half shell, a lemon rosemary tart. I live in the day, and the day lives past me. If I could draw a map of the hours, a long horizon would travel on indefinitely, a green backlit thread. The sky? Well, it's never the same. It's sour milk and whipped cream, a sketchbook in flour-dusted jeans. Today, I'm in love with the sky. It doesn't care if my father is dead, or that I live by myself with his Masonic watch. I sew time with my mother's button jar. I've improvised my life. Let the sky pull the strings. Tonight, I will borrow the golden ladder from the orchard, travel from this sphere into the next, and expunge the leftover sadness of the hemispheres, to move beyond the beyond which is here, present, alive in this hyacinth room. Time leaps over itself after and out of the tangled past, over shadows of weather falling across a back window, to forgive one another, to try once more to live it right. Susan Rich is an award-winning poet, editor, and essayist. She's the author of Cloud Pharmacy, The Alchemist's Kitchen, Cures Include Travel, and The Cartographer's Tongue. She co-edited the anthology The Strangest of Theaters, McSweeney's Books, and has received awards from PEN America and the Fulbright Foundation. Gallery of Postcards and Maps, New and Collected Poems is forthcoming from Salmon Press, and Blue Atlas from Red Hen Press in 2024. Here's a poem recounting a wife's loving dedication to her husband in Braiding His Hair by Allison Luderman. Here we are, each morning. My husband, on our kitchen chair, its upholstery mended with duct tape, his head bent forward while I comb out his long, wheat-colored hair. Not what I thought we'd be doing in our 60s, me dividing the wet silk of it, still stubbornly reddish-gold, only a little white at the sideburns. 3 thick hanks in hand, I begin to plait over, under, over, under. I don't remember when he stopped cutting his hair and decided to let it grow as long as a girl's, and he was mistaken for a girl once, a tall, stoop-shouldered man-girl, when he stood on the sidewalk, back to the street, and a car drove by, honking and catcalling. At him, not me. We laughed, but I had to wonder, when did his tresses, now halfway to his waist, first spill over his shoulders? It must have happened while we slept, as most things do. And how did he come to sit before me so patiently now, head bowed, while I brayed, as if he were the daughter I never had, and this my one chance to weave my care into each over, under, over, under? Alison Luterman's 4 books of poetry are The Largest Possible Life, See How We Almost Fly, Desire Zoo, and In the Time of Great Fires, Catamaran Press, 2020. Her poems and stories have appeared in The Sun, Rattle, Salon, Prairie Schooner, Nimrod, The Atlantic Review, Tattoo Highway, and elsewhere. In the following verse, an elderly couple share a poignant moment in an apple orchard in Love in Our 60s by Judith Sornberger. You lead me, hand in hand, through your apple orchard, like the one where I was married half a life ago. Although we met when old, I once thought we might wed, become partners, as we were, with our former long-time loves. You're showing me the once wild apple tree onto whose boughs you grafted other varieties. Priscilla, Famous, Ida Red, like the names of children we will never have. I once hoped that we, potter and poet, man and woman, might graft our lives in such a way that they couldn't be divided, though we're as white-haired as crowns of apple trees in May. You point out the raised place where old met new and melded right down to the heartwood, where separateness has almost been erased. I trace the scar as you reach up to pick a few apples for us to taste. Oh, the scarlet kiss of skin, the sweetness of today. Judith Sornberger is the author of 4 poetry collections: Angel Chimes, Poems of Advent and Christmas, I Call to You from Time, Practicing the World, and Open Heart. Her prose memoir, The Accidental Pilgrim, Finding God and His Mother in Tuscany, is published by Shanty Arts. She is Professor Emerita of Mansfield University, where she taught English and women's studies. She lives on the side of a mountain in the northern Appalachians of Pennsylvania. Up next, That New, by Susan Rothbard. At the market today, I look for piñata apples. They're soft blush yellow. My husband brought them home last week, made me guess at the names of the new strain, which he held in one hand like a gift, and laughed as I tried all the names I knew. Gala, Fuji, Honeycrisp. Watched his face for clues. What to call something new? It's winter, only tawny hues and frozen ground, but that apple bride was sweet, and I want to bring it back to him, that new. When he cut it, the star inside held its seeds of other stars, the way within a life are all the lives you might live, each unnamed until you name it. Susan Rothbard's poems have appeared in Patterson Literary Review, The Comstock Review, English Journal, Dogwood, and Spindrift. She earned her MFA in creative writing at Fairleigh Dickinson University, and her recent book, Birds of New Jersey, Broadkill River Press, was awarded the Dogfish Head Poetry Prize. The wonderful resilience of nature is recounted in our next poem, The Innermost Chamber of My Home is Yours, by David Axelrod. Until now, I hadn't looked up all day. It's already late October, and this month of the campaign, the rains returned, the earth soft underfoot, lawns in town, fescue, wild rye, and bunch grass in the foothills, winter wheat in the valley, all bled together into a green film. And for no reason at all, I glanced up the slopes at Glass Hill, where forests burned 40 years ago, and caught a glimpse of it, a future world where a young aspen grove yields back all the summer's light into air. David Axelrod's new collection of poems, Years Beyond the River, appeared in 2021 from Terrapin Books. His second collection of nonfiction, The Eclipse I Call Father, Essays on Absence, was published by Oregon State University Press in the spring of 2019. Axelrod directs the Low Residency MFA and Wilderness Ecology and Community Program at Eastern Oregon University. He makes his home in Missoula, Montana. You've been listening to Poets' Corner, a production of Audio Journal, proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you have any comments or suggestions for Poets' Corner, please let us know by calling us at 508-797-1117 or by emailing us at info@audiojournal.org or by mailing us directly, Audio Journal, 799 West Boylston Street, Worcester, Massachusetts, 01606. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm George Bloomquist, thanking you for listening. And now, stay tuned for other local programming brought to you by Audio Journal.
Music Worcester is excited to announce The Complete Bach, an 11-year project to perform the compositions of Johann Sebastian Bach. This bold project will include 12 concerts a year over the next 11 years, ending in 2035 on Bach's 350th birthday. Enjoy listening to Bach's vocal, organ, and harpsichord, as well as string and orchestral arrangements, all happening in various venues in Worcester. By 2035, all known pieces by Bach will have been performed, all in Worcester. Be a part of this historical endeavor. Subscription packages for three or more events, along with single tickets, are on sale at musicworcester.org.